World Fish Migration Day and students learning about radio. It's all on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director. Thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Tennessee Tech Today show. Well, World Fish Migration Day is Saturday, October 24th. This day calls attention to the need to provide riverine fish passage so that fish can engage in migratory behavior. The Tennessee Tech Water Center is newly engaged in a study that will support fish migration within the Elk River Basin. And with us today to discuss World Fish Migration Day and the Tennessee Tech Water Center is Jeff Schaefer, the director of Tech's Water Center. He also has brought along a few friends he will introduce during the discussion. Jeff, the show is yours.
Thanks, Buddy. World Fish Migration Day is a global celebration designed to connect fish, rivers, and people. Its purpose is to create awareness of the importance of free-flowing rivers and migratory fish. There will be 249 events worldwide, and our part of that celebration at Tennessee Tech is to talk about the importance of fish migrations right here in Tennessee. When people think about fish migrations, they think about salmon, who are born in freshwater rivers, migrate to the ocean to grow, and then return to their birthplace to spawn. It's a two-way journey that can take them on a five-year adventure from headwater streams in Idaho all the way out to the coast of Japan and back. They swim over 10,000 miles during their lives, and to survive, they must escape orcas, seals, sharks, and surmount fast rivers that are sometimes filled with hungry bears. But there are many other fish species that migrate just like salmon, and there are fish migrations right here in Tennessee that are just as amazing. I'm Jeff Schaefer, and I'm the Water Center Director here at Tennessee Tech. I've gotten together today with Dr. Kit Wheeler, Dr. Amanda Rosenberger, and Lori Neighbors. Kit is a professor at Tennessee Tech University. Amanda is with the USGS Tennessee Cooperative Fishery Research Unit. And Lori is working on a master's degree in environmental studies and is studying barriers to fish migration. They each have a story about fish migration in Tennessee. So let's start with Kit. Kit, tell us about the salmon of the South.
All right, Jeff. In Tennessee, we obviously don't have salmon that migrate here from the ocean. However, we do have a number of other fishes that regularly migrate between different freshwater habitats, and oftentimes that's done for reproduction. Now, in our lab, we're focused on one particular group of these migratory freshwater fishes that are called suckers. And these suckers share certain similarities with the salmon you already described. In our lab, we're working to position suckers as the salmon of the South because of their similar capacity to move nutrients between habitats. In many ways, suckers act as a conveyor belt that transports essential materials from one habitat to another through their migrations. Now, our first goal is simply trying to estimate the mass of the nutrients that's being delivered to streams used for spawning by these migratory suckers. That first step will help us identify those places where and the times when sucker migrations are most consequential. Once we know that, we can then focus our attention on the different ways that sucker-derived nutrients affect food web dynamics in those spawning streams.
Those guys are fascinating. Why is this important?
Well, Jeff, it's important because nutrients delivered by those migrating fishes may indeed have substantial ecological impacts. And we think that conservation of those fishes could be motivated by identifying their functional role. Now, in Tennessee and the rest of the Southeast, we have multiple species of suckers. One particular species we plan to work with is the sicklefin red horse, which is only found in portions of the Hiwassee and Little Tennessee River basins. Now, just like salmon, the sicklefin red horse were once a critical resource for native peoples. In this case, they provided a subsistence fishery for the Cherokee people, and those folks even had their own unique name for the fish. Now, unfortunately, sicklefin share another similarity with salmon. Their migrations today are nowhere near historical levels. That difference is due in large part to the extensive fragmentation of river corridors by dams, culverts, and other barriers to fish movement. As a result of those barriers, migratory fishes like the sicklefin have lost access to an enormous amount of habitat that would have historically been used during reproduction. Without those fishes, there's also the loss of any nutrients that would have been delivered through the migration. We believe we can make a powerful argument for the conservation of these overlooked fishes by mirroring work that's already been done with salmon. This would involve developing an understanding of the nutrient transport that's associated with migrations of sicklefin and other suckers, as well as identifying the different ways that those nutrients delivered by the sicklefin subsidize recipient streams that are used for spawning.
So, Kit, they really are like salmon in so many ways. But there's another group of animals we have to talk about. You would never think that they would migrate, but they do. And to tell us about them, we turn to Dr. Amanda Rosenberger, who studies freshwater mussels. Amanda, these guys are so interesting. I do not know where to begin, but perhaps you do. Tell us their story.
Well, thank you so much. Well, my lab focuses on freshwater mussels, and they're bivalves like our marine clams and scallops, but they live in rivers, streams, and lakes. They're found worldwide, but the center of their diversity is right here in the southeastern United States. You might wonder why a group of animals that only burrow and shuffle across the stream, hardly known for scampering or swimming about, might be relevant to World Fish Migration Day. But they actually are capable of quite long movements when they're a little larvae by hitching a ride on passing fish. Why would they do this? Well, if the mama mussel, like their marine counterparts, just let their babies drift along the current, all of them would end up in the ocean. So instead, mom mussels use mucus nets, lures that look like fish food, and sometimes even direct capture of fishes to cheat gravity. When the fish interacts with the net or lure, they end up with a mouthful or covered in parasitic larval mussels. They're called glaucidia. These little mussels, like little small Pac-Men, will attach onto the gills or skins or fins of the fish coming by and hitch a ride upstream. This is much like how fruiting trees use birds to disperse their seeds, but unlike the birds, migratory fish don't necessarily get the benefit of a free meal for their trouble. Mussels, however, are pretty friendly parasites. They don't kill their host, and they only hang out for a few days to a few weeks, depending on the species, before they drop off and then grow in the substrate.
So, Amanda, very few people know about mussels. But they should, because they're important in some very interesting ways.
Oh yes, mussels with their shells fueled the button industry in the mid-18th century to the turn of the next century, and their shells can be used for cultured pearls. But both of these industries, after quite a bit of harvest, are not as active in these days. They're largely replaced by other means of making buttons or pearls. Still, one can find large piles of shells next to rivers with round holes punched through. These are like remnants of bygone days. But it doesn't follow that mussels are no longer important to people. They act as natural, living water filters that clean up our rivers and transform algae, muck, and fine particles into biomass that can then be used for a variety of creatures like muskrats and otters as food. Water around mussel beds is known not only for its cleanliness, but also its productivity of invertebrates that then go on to feed healthy fisheries. Sadly, freshwater mussels, due to a variety of factors, are also among the most endangered group of animals in the world. Most mussels have some kind of conservation status with the Endangered Species Act, and we are scrambling, particularly in the Southeast, to preserve what remains of these precious and unique species that are disappearing faster than we can understand them.
There's one other thing I would love our listeners to know about. They have the coolest names in biology, and their common names are just so uniquely American. My personal favorites are the snuffbox and the white heel splitter, because if you ever saw those in your hand, you would realize they match their names perfectly.
Personally, I'm partial to both the purple wartyback and the rabbit's foot.
I like the darter snapper and the monkey face.
Well, there's also the three-horned wartyback, the pimpleback, the washboard, and the creeper. They used to have the most bizarre, salty names that were given to them by very salty people. But we've had to change a few of these to be a little bit more tame and less offensive in these modern times.
I think we need to get back on track here. And we need to talk about some of the things that actually impede fish migrations. Most people are familiar with dams that block fish passage. And this is actually an environmental issue that is being fixed. Fisheries scientists have teamed up with engineers to design fish ladders and fishways. And there's a national trend toward removing dams that have become obsolete or fallen into disrepair. Over 1,000 have been removed nationally since 1999. And in New England, fish passage has been restored for coastal species. And in the state of Washington, removal of two dams on their Elwha River made national news because it restored an entire river ecosystem, including historic salmon runs. But here in Tennessee, barriers to fish migration are very different and present some unique challenges. And here to tell us about them is Lori Nabors. But first, Lori, tell us a little bit about you.
Dr. Schaefer, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be able to bring a student perspective to the table. But a bit about me. I'm a master's candidate at Tennessee Tech University. I'm working toward a professional science master's in environmental informatics. I received my undergraduate degree in geology from Tennessee Tech as well. I am considered a non-traditional student by all formal definitions. I received my bachelor's degree several years out of being out of high school. Now I'm a master's candidate, wife, mother to three rowdy boys, and my journey keeps on going.
That is great. Thank you. So what is the challenge for sustaining fish migrations in Tennessee through your research?
So the problem we have are road crossings, specifically bridges and culverts. They often block streams or create mini dams. Fixing them is pretty straightforward, but the problem is locating them so they can be assessed. We have remote sensing using GIS, and then we also have traditional brute force, which is ground truthing. Ground truthing is extremely rewarding, but also a time-consuming process. A lot of time is spent driving back roads in small rural towns. A large percent of the crossings that we want to evaluate are hard to access, but are crucial for our research and evaluation of the water system. My hope and goal is to use GIS and LIDAR to remotely access these locations before ground truthing in order to reduce the time associated with the process.
This sounds like a very, very big project. Best of luck with that. So we have talked about very different migrations, but there's one more Tennessee fish that we need to talk about before we close. It's a species whose migrations rival that of salmon, but you can find them right here in streams northeast of Nashville. And we're talking about American eels. American eels are the opposite of salmon. They are born in saltwater, but live most of their lives in freshwater. The eels we find in Tennessee were born in the Sargasso Sea in the South Atlantic Ocean east of Bermuda. When they're only a few inches long, they traveled against the current of the Gulf Stream around the Florida Keys and made it through the Gulf of Mexico to the Mississippi River. But to get to Nashville or even further upstream, they had to swim up the Mississippi River all the way past Cairo, Illinois, and Paducah, Kentucky, to enter the Tennessee River drainage. That is a distance of over 3,000 miles as the eel swims, and they will retrace their path to return to the Sargasso when it is time for them to spawn, after which, just like Pacific salmon, they will die. So Tennessee is an inland state, but with fish migrations in our rivers that connect us ecologically to 31 other states, two Canadian provinces, and ultimately to places as far away as the Sargasso Sea.
Our Tennessee rivers support so many fish species that if we gave each species 5 minutes of airtime, this episode would have to continue for nearly 25 hours. And on top of that, we'd need an extra 11 hours just to cover Amanda Rosenberger's mussels.
For those of you in the car without calculators, that is about 300 fish species and 130 or so mussel species. And there are dozens of other migratory species we didn't have time to talk about today.
This is a rich heritage of which Tennesseans should be proud, and we would like more people to know about it.
The state of Tennessee is actively working to conserve migratory fishes. Several state and federal agencies have biologists working on fish migration issues, and this year the state of Tennessee is planning the largest dam removal in our state's history on the Duck River.
Migratory fish are so cool that they get a special party on October 24th. For more information, visit worldfishmigrationday.com.
We will talk more about World Fish Migration Day and the Tennessee Tech Water Center. Stay with us.
When the world is moving this fast, boldness is rewarded. At Tennessee Tech, we help you find your bold. We'll help you turn it into a career-ready education. That's Tennessee Tech. Bold futures begin here. tntech.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. We're visiting with Jeff Schaefer, the director of Tennessee Tech's Water Center, and a few of his colleagues and friends about World Fish Migration Day.
How long has World Fish Migration Day been around? What got it started? What got it going?
It's been around for a few years, and I believe that I don't know the exact origin, but what motivated people to create the event was that worldwide people were observing declines in migratory fishes. And migratory fishes are important virtually anywhere people live, for subsistence, for ecosystem services, what have you. And so it became an international event. And actually this year, it might be a little bit smaller than it was in past years due to the COVID pandemic, because a lot of the events need to be virtual rather than in person.
Yeah. And so obviously Tennessee Tech takes this event very seriously. It's a big deal for the research and the things that you do. Just talk a little bit about, you know, Tech's interest in this event.
Tennessee Tech is actually a hotbed of fisheries research. And the reason is that we have the Water Center. And the Water Center has long been interested in biodiversity, but we are also the home to the Tennessee Cooperative Fishery Research Unit. And the unit program was established about 75 years ago, and essentially it is the federal government, specifically the United States Geological Survey, that supports a unit on campus. And it's a partnership between the federal government, the state of Tennessee, and the university. And we have unit staffers that serve as professors here in the biology department, and their focus is applied research of interest to resource managers in the state. And then we also have some very new and also some older, very active fisheries professors that are very research-oriented. And since I've arrived at the Water Center about a year ago, I've been working with all these folks almost every day. And it's one of the most rewarding parts of my job. Kit, Amanda, and Lori, I want to thank you for your time and helping us put together this international event. And Buddy, thanks so much for your technical expertise and support to get this podcast into something real that can be sent out to people who are interested.
Hey, glad to help, and you certainly have a future in radio if you decide to get out of the Water Center.
This is just, I love the Water Center. I am not leaving as long as my health holds out, because I have fun every day. But one of the things that scientists have realized is that our communication needs to be better, and we can't just do research and write academic papers. We need to get the word of what's happening out there. And we need to take advantage of different forms of communication, especially radio podcasts like this one.
All right. Thank you, Jeff, Kit, Amanda, and Lori. When we come back, we will talk to a couple of students who are studying radio this week. Stay with us.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. I'm Buddy Pearson, and I have the pleasure of teaching a mass communication class at Tech. And this week, students have been learning about the radio industry. To give the students a hands-on approach to radio, we have a couple of my students as guests on this week's show. First up is Braden Wall. All right, Braden Wall with us. And Braden, first of all, tell us what brought you to Tennessee Tech.
Well, what brought me to Tennessee Tech was, I originally wanted to play soccer, but as you know, a lot of universities that have soccer are a little more expensive. And they didn't offer me as much scholarship money as I wanted. And I also had a girlfriend who was going to Tech. So I decided that at the time I would just go there. It'd be cheaper and there'd be more benefits there, I suppose.
Now, where are you from originally?
I'm from Dixon, Tennessee, a little west of Nashville.
Yeah. And now what is your major at Tennessee Tech?
My major is communications with a focus in journalism.
Okay, great. Well, now that you've been on campus and you've been a student for a while, what's your impression of Tennessee Tech?
My impression of Tennessee Tech is I absolutely love it. It's a cheap school, and I love the people here. I've been involved in two different organizations. I'm in Pi Kappa Alpha, the fraternity, and I'm also in campus outreach and just working to grow my faith in that way and also reach my brothers in Pike for the gospel and for Christ.
Awesome. Now, what made you want to study communications, specifically journalism?
Right. So specifically journalism, I wanted to have experience in just gaining information and spreading it to people. And I actually want to go to seminary potentially as my main profession and go to pastor or be a missionary or a deacon and also maybe work in radio at some point.
Awesome. And speaking of radio, we've been learning about it this week in our class. Have you learned anything, or is there anything that maybe you didn't know about radio that you were able to pick up on?
Well, I'm learning as I go. I actually have a job now at Stonecom and Stonecom Radio, and just working to understand the ins and outs of it. And I learned about the Telecommunications Act and stuff about history and technology in that way. But still learning. Not quite fresh on my mind right now, but yeah.
So, what do you like most about working in radio?
Working in radio, I honestly love the opportunities that it's given me so far with just the experience. First of all, I'm on the promotions team, so we go out and set up tents at events and try to serve the community in that way by just giving games and promoting the station. I haven't been on air, haven't had experience there yet, but the opportunities are open with voice acting and doing voiceovers and potentially speaking on air at some point.
Hey, well, you're on air right now, but
there we go.
So talk about, what your future looks like as far as maybe radio and communications and journalism after you get your degree at Tennessee Tech.
After I get my degree at Tennessee Tech in communications, I may work in at the radio station for a few more years and do online seminary, or I may go to seminary itself and work on a podcast there with my cousins who's up there, Corey Higdon. I think that's the plan. I've got different routes, but I'm pretty sure seminary is the route right now, and then add on radio later.
Awesome. Well, listen, man, you're doing a great job in class, and glad that you're getting to learn about radio and experience that as well, and just good luck to you. Appreciate you being with us.
Well, yeah, thank you so much, buddy.
And we're visiting now with Lawson Tidwell. And Lawson, just tell us a little bit about what brought you to Tennessee Tech.
Well, I've had family come through here, and it's kind of like a really not very interesting story about it. But my brother's friend's girlfriend did the communications program here, and she's doing pretty well for herself. She always talked very highly about it, and I've always wanted to do something in that range, so I figured I'd give it a shot.
Okay. Well, where are you from originally?
I'm from Cheatham County. You may know it famously for sitting in between Nashville and a little bit of Upper Tennessee, but that's about it.
So did somebody come and talk to you at your school, or what was it that really attracted you about Tennessee? Because there's a lot of communication schools in the state of Tennessee.
Right. And I did look at other schools because we had one of those college, I don't want to call them advertising fairs because that doesn't put them in a flattering light. But, they came around and they talked about it. And I picked up a pamphlet from the Tennessee Tech, section. But if I'm honest with you, those events never really capture my attention all that much. If I want to research about a college, I'll do it myself. And that's not out of, any sort of disdain for the people who talk about them. It's just, I don't know, me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, this week we're talking about radio. So is there a particular area of communications that you're really looking to get into?
Yeah, actually. I originally, like a long time ago, did want to do radio. And then I'm now more interested in going into like broadcast media, being like a, not an anchor, but like a smaller part in a live broadcasted news station. But sure. I've always thought of radio as a good secondary option, which I know it's not good to split your focus, but I've always thought if that's where it ends up, then that's where I end up, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well, what have you liked best about Tennessee Tech since you've been here?
Best about Tennessee Tech is that everything's kind of in its own, in a very small space. Like I don't feel lost whenever I'm trying to find somewhere that I haven't been to. Mm-hmm. If I look at a map, it's very clear and easy to see where it is in relation to everything else. I like that a lot about it because I'm not very good at navigating.
Yeah. So long term down the road, you're looking at maybe getting into broadcast news, maybe being a news reporter or something like that. Do you have any idea of, you know, what you want to do or where you want to do that at when you get out of school?
Somewhere small. I don't really want to do anything big. Maybe because I know usually from what I've looked into, which I could be very wrong about this, but it looks like local stations usually have a position or two open.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of banking off that.
Awesome. All right. Lawson Tidwell from Cheatham County with us on Tennessee Tech today. Thanks for being with us.
No problem. Thank you.
And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the T2 website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.